I had a sermon prepared yesterday. I know what's coming. I had a sermon prepared yesterday, and I thought, oh, it's good. Ticked box. Wrong. Hang on. Where's my? Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay. And needless to say, it all changed. And I knew that I had to change something, as you do. So I was up till some stupid time last night, this morning, carrying it on. So often God's ways are not our ways, and vice versa. And part of this disciple growing in Christ is you think you've got it. You think you know and understand God. Wrong. I mean, last night there was an emergency call out for little. In fact, some of you don't know little Sophie, because she broke her arm really badly, and they were praying that she wouldn't have surgery. She ended up having surgery, and it was, what time was it when she sent that message out? It was late. 7 o'clock, yeah, she hadn't been operated on. And Lucy was really, really, and she kept saying, this isn't challenging my faith, except, you know, it's really hard because your daughter's in pain, when she was. And so she had an operation, it all went well, and she was discharged this morning. She sent a message on the WhatsApp group saying that even though Sophie's in pain, she has been discharged. So we need to pray, ongoing prayer for Sophie, that she will be completely healed. And the fear and the pain that she went through yesterday won't have an effect over her life. Just thought I'd share that. One thing I know about God is that his values are a bit different to ours. You know, Jesus says, you live by dying, you rise by going low, that you gain by giving. Lesser is more. You win wars by having fewer troops. That's Gideon. You know, I'm an evangelical, and you know, I believe the word of God. I know I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, all of that stuff. But there's always a danger of ideas being fixed by what we know, and that's the difficulty in this discipleship bit as you grow as a Christian. We know what God does. I know that God's heart and intentions far outstripped my limited theology. God's heart and intentions far outstrip my own theology, how I think I understand God. It starts off in the beginning of the law, when the first part of the law is, don't make a graven image of me. And we always thought, and I always grew up as a Christian thinking, it's all about making a little idol and putting it in the corner and stuff. And it was true. But it's the whole thing of trying to make an understanding of God that fits into your understanding. And God isn't. He really isn't. I'm not quite sure I'm going down this road, but yeah. And that's why I've changed what I was going to say today. Put the scripture up, can you? Matthew 18. Jesus called a little child to him and placed the child among them, and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Us aside, we are so. When I research something, you know, you go into so much theology, and everyone knows the answer, and they know, and they take a word and they dissect it, and what does it mean, and what does it doesn't mean, and everything else, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But you've always got to understand the heart of God. Understand that if a particular scripture goes against how you see God, then you must what you know about God, in the sense that you know he loves you, you know all of that sort of stuff. Because they're scriptures that you can take out of context. And I know Rob did it yesterday. You know, he didn't do it yesterday. He showed demonstrations of it. Where ladies wearing hats in church. Don't let a woman preach. Don't let a woman preach. You know. Which I thought was actually correct. Because I knew about this. But I just good to remind myself. You know. When and have you been in churches where you had to wear hats at all? Yeah. No. Yeah. You have, yeah, you've been. Yeah. Were you in? So that was the way, was it? And did they let women preach?
I think they did.
Oh right, okay. Messed up theology there then, but yeah. Yeah, you got to wear hats, but you can preach.
Yeah, but they're not allowed to preach. They're not allowed to be in power.
Yeah. Okay, and that was when Paul writes about that. And it's very clear in the scripture. And is it Ephesians or Corinthians? I can't remember now. But Andrew sent me his notes. That was very thank you for that. You see, Andrew was worried about working on keyboard, and his notes are so concise all the way through. Because I started doing notes yesterday, and I split the screen, and I didn't know how to do it, and so I gave up. And then I said, "Can you give me notes afterwards?" And he sent me them last night. And his notes are really concise. Very impressed. Oh, the whole thing was just, whoo, very good. Come again next time. where am I going there? Where was I going? Sorry? Hats, yeah. And the reason why in the scripture is that where he was writing to was the main religion was the goddess of Diana. And goddess of Diana was led by women. And so anyone, new believers coming into the church, were used to women running the whole thing, women priests, women everything. And so Paul says, don't let them preach. Logically, he's taking what your culture is and changing the culture. Because if you bring in this culture of Diane into our church, it's going to mess us up. It's in context. It makes sense. To apply that to any other culture is nonsense. As we do sometimes. So, understanding the heart of God is terribly important. When Jesus calls the child out, well, this idea that God can use children to teach us, that we've been... in our culture, it would be difficult. You know, at the end of this, I'm going to show a little clip from my grandson, because I can. But it's extremely relevant, and it's the reason why I'm preaching this today. Okay, it's... how can we gain knowledge from a little child? How can we? And in fact, you've got to look at the context of when it was written as well. When Jesus said it to about a child, children were not valued. They were valued as kids, but not valued in any way in society, as they sort of are now. In the first century, children enjoyed little esteem and virtually no respect. Even though families appreciate children, they always do, in whatever culture we are. But society merely tolerated them. The very language of the day reveals the first century prejudice. One Greek word for child, pious or paidon, means servant or slave. Another, nepios, carries the connotation of inexperience, foolishness, and helplessness. And Greek philosophers regularly chided a stupid or foolish man by calling him a child. I think we do it now, don't we, sometimes? You silly child. Indeed, even biblical writers admonish Christians to stop thinking like children. That's in 1 Corinthians 14. Imagine then people's astonishment when Jesus gets hold of a little child. He brings a troublesome, noisy child and places him in front of the crowd. With his hand on this lad's shoulders, Jesus has the audacity to suggest that this small tyke provides an example to be followed. It is quite radical to say, unless you become like him, well, me, yeah, mate, you know, little lad or whatever, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's important to understand what that means. Now, kids must have thought this was weird as well. Because when we're young, we want to be old, generally. Not so much in our culture now. But when my culture and my parents' culture and my grandparents' culture, they all wanted to be old. How do you know? Have you got pictures of your grandparents, pictures of your parents, or pictures of you when you were younger? Have a look at picture, yes or no? And you see somebody, you see movies from the 1940s, and you see the wartime stuff, the Air Force, and you think, those guys must be in their 40s or 50s. No, they're actually 19 and 20, wearing their moustaches and dressing in a way which makes you look old. Members of my family, I'm not going to mention her name, members of our family, she always wanted to be old, and she carried a stick and everything else, and then she got younger as she got older. Don't you probably know who I'm talking about, don't worry. And we all wanted to be something because age means experience and everything else. That's our culture, that has been our culture. Jesus said to the people, you're missing it entirely. Unless you humble yourselves like one of these, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. And he means, look at them now, learn from them now, and aspire to become like them. Jesus does it again. You know, when he pulls the guys out of the money, the guys out of the money changers in the temple. Remember that time? And he chases out these guys, and then he heals the blind and lame as well, so he demonstrates the kingdom of God. And the kids start shouting, and I hadn't realized this, but the children start shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! And the chief priests and teachers of the law were furious and demanded of him, do you hear what these little children are saying? Yes, replied Jesus, have you not heard from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise? Jesus seemed to delight in the fact that inexperienced, simple children had an understanding superior to these trained adults. Speaking to the crowds in Galilee, Jesus declared, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was for your good pleasure. We find the genius of children in their helpless state. You know, I look at my little granddaughter, who's getting interesting now. She's giggling and all that sort of stuff. But you know, for months she's been, you know, feed, pee, whatever. I mean, you know, there's she's smiling. No, it's wind. All that stuff. Completely helpless, reliance of adults, and the Bible, as well as Christian spirituality, is constantly held at pride. Pride is the greatest spiritual failing known to humankind. Pride. Forget all the other sins. Pride is the biggie. It really is. It's the reason why Lucifer was cast from heaven, because of pride. And pride is. I remember sending somebody when I was a previous fellowship. Asking somebody to do a theological course, and they did. And they came back, a pain in the neck actually. They came back full of knowledge, knows it. Hey, oh well, no, that's not what Scripture says. It's pride. It's a danger. We all have to watch in ourselves. The message of the gospel scandalizes the proud. It insists that we admit we're fallen, admit we're helpless, and admit that we need someone to pay the price on our behalf. To accept the gospel, you need to say, I need help. I need help. I can't do this myself. Which is where a child is. Now later on, I know my grandson at the moment, you know, is getting to the stage where, no, I do it myself. I do it myself, he says. Which is very cute, but you know, no, you, yeah, okay. I do it myself. Because as we grow into adults, we want to do it ourselves. And it's true of us all from that point onwards. through our lives. I do it myself. I do it myself. God, yeah, I know, I love you, Lord. Praise God, thank you, Lord, but I do it myself. I go into it with my own resources. I rely on myself because I can. I rely on my wealth or my knowledge or my abilities because I can. Humility is so key, and an understanding that I need the Father to be with me. There's a foolishness about the message we carry, and also the manner to which the kingdom works. Just put up 1 Corinthians, please. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Now Jews demanded signs and Greeks looked for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. The process of parenting. You know, I talked about seasons. The process of parenting. And I'm aware, and grandparenting, sorry, must add that, is one of the most spiritually formative journeys a man and woman can ever undertake. We were praying a couple I talked to you about last yesterday. We prayed for my son-in-law Chris, and I know that actually in growing in parenting his son and daughter, he will see the face. He will begin to see the face of God. He won't recognize it. Now I know some of you haven't got children, some of you aren't seeing your grandkids, and I have to be sensitive about that. But understand that this place is actually where you see God's grace in parenting. You know, if we're in tune with God, the journey of caring for, raising, training and loving children marks us indelibly and powerfully. And it does. Marks us indelibly and powerfully. We cannot be the same person we once were. We will forever be changed, eternally altered. And spiritually speaking, we need to raise children every bit as much as they need us to raise them. And people can raise children even if they're not their own children. They can you can raise children, you know, some of you nodding your heads. But you can also get alongside people and raise them as children. Because in a church, it's about a family. And there's times when we might not be physical parents, but we can be parents to other people and help them along in that journey of discovery of their faith. And if we approach the kingdom of God as a little child, in Luke 18 it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God is like a little child who will never enter it. Jesus is telling us that we need to have this type of trust and faith in the Father. It's down to being like a little kid. I need to trust him. That's what the prayers were about yesterday. You know, it wasn't all about Sophie, it was all about trust. Trust him. I don't know what's going to happen, but trust him. And that's not always easy when you see the world falling down and going through difficult times. Trust him. And faith in the Father. After all, we are his children. We should be able to come to him fully trusting, without a doubt, that he loves us and cares for us. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And there is another dynamic that's not necessarily taught. And I talked about being pride and learning and trusting and being reliance. But there's also the... Can you show the video? Clip the video. Put that volume reasonably high as well. This is my grandson a few days ago. That's Ali laughing. Now, he had tears in his eyes, which is lovely. There is a dynamic in that, of that child really, really enjoying that time. He went on, Sammy was hyper, and he went on till in the middle of the night, I think, bless him. But there is something about us approaching God that way too. And I know I want that. I want to be able to approach God with that, just laughing in his presence, laughing and enjoying the Father as you saw little Sammy enjoying his grandma. There's that dynamic of just letting him be, letting him, enjoying him. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Amen.